Welcome to the Real Growth Podcast. I am here with a gentleman I've followed on Instagram for some time, a gentleman that has been building a business that I've been impressed with, just with the toys you get to play with. Excited to learn more about your journey that has got you to the hot seat. Thank you, James Keller, for letting us use your studio again. And what has helped you build your business? And just, we really like sharing about entrepreneurial stories, and you definitely have one that I think people can learn from. And so let's jump right in. Go ahead and introduce yourself and share about the business that you have.
Sweet. My name is Evan Kaler, and I have a landscape excavation company based out of the Byron area, and serve the Rochester and surrounding market.
When you say landscaping and excavating, for someone that isn't in the business, how the heck do you explain some of the services that you do?
So we dig holes, we stack rocks, we make it so your house has water, we make it so when you flush your toilet, all that works. So
because you're hooking the pipes leading up to the property?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so we do retaining walls. So on the landscaping side of things, we do hardscapes. So retaining walls, patios, pavers, that type of thing. And then on the excavation side of things, shed pads, shop pads. Or if you're building a new house, we come in, we work with the builder to dig your foundation, dig your footings for your house. And then, so we're just kind of the first step in the building process.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And I know you've done some work for one of my team members, Dylan Carty.
Oh, yeah.
What was some of the work that you helped him with?
Yeah, out at his place, we dug a pond. So, as you know, he has a few acres out there. Got a nice little lot out there, so... he's got a lot of room for activities out there. So yeah, he was like, you know what? I think it'd be cool to dig a pond.
That's awesome.
So have some fish out here, go fishing. And so we did that.
That's great. So if we talk about, your journey of getting into the business, let's talk through what led you to having large pieces of equipment, because I know in high school, they don't teach us about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see these things out there in the world. How the heck did you get into this stuff?
So I just like big equipment. I don't know. I think I always have, because I don't really remember a time. I remember a time probably when I was, 6 years old or 8 years old. You grow up playing in the sandbox as a little boy. I just play in the sandbox and always would be intrigued by... I grew up by Austin, Minnesota. So, we had a few acres out there. I think my dad had like 35 acres at the time or something. So, we'd go, there'd be these water puddles. And this was kind of my favorite thing to do. Me and my brother would go out. And so we had a water puddle over here by this culvert coming under the road. And then we'd think it would be really fun to dig little channels and drain the water down to the lower part in the yard. So we dig these little channels through the snow or through the mud or whatever, and just drain this pond into this other little puddle. So it was kind of fun. So, and then, it's pretty much the same concept that we do now, like digging a pond. Now we're moving thousands of yards of, material rather than just digging by hand with a shovel, but, same concept really. But yeah, just grew up just kind of being intrigued by big equipment. So, and that's never left. It's still in me, I guess. So, and as we were chatting before, I think it's kind of in everybody. Like, whether they like it or not, a lot of people find road construction pretty, it's not ideal. If you're trying to get to work on time, chances are road construction is going to be what's the annoying part of your trip.
Mm-hmm.
But, say on the weekend, if you see some big pieces, like a dozer pushing a bunch of dirt, it's just kind of fun to take the family and just look at that. So, and I only know that because we're on the other side of that. We're on the construction side. And so we see these families come and like stop at the street corner and just like watch us. the mom's running with their stroller, with the babies in the stroller. They just stop and watch. It's kind of fun.
Look at the big tractor, they call it, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
I guess, long story short, I've always been intrigued by it. So so then my thought process was, what can I do to do that? you know, because I don't want to go through my life working a job I don't like to pay for the weekend just so I can, you know, live for the weekend, or, you know, be in the golden handcuffs, if you will. You know, I would rather do, and a lot of days it's hard, you know, construction is not an easy job, but, you know, there's struggles, in that, but, at the same time, it's, there's so much pride that goes into it. You know, you drive past a house and you're like, I'm the reason that that house has water. I'm the reason that that house has sewer. So it's kind of cool.
When you were in high school, did you have that entrepreneurial hunger early on? Or at what point did you start to transition into your own business of some sort, or creating something that generated income?
So I had the blessing of my dad owning his own company. So he has a lawn care, and still to this day has a lawn care and snow removal business. So, also I had the blessing of being homeschooled. And so I was able to, do my school and then go and work with him. So, and you know, growing up early, it was, just a couple days a week, probably. And then kind of as I went through school, you stack on the days, working outdoors, but, yeah, worked with him a couple days a week. So I don't know. I never saw myself working for somebody for, you know, an extended period of time. I just always thought, you know, if he did it, I can do it too. And then anybody can do it.
So then did you move to the big city of Rochester from Austin? Or what was kind of the steps that led you to where you're at today?
I was born in Rochester, lived here till I think I was 3. And then my family moved to Austin, just about 45 minutes away. Grew up there. And then right after high school, I worked for another landscape company, not too far out of town, for I think about a year and a half. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. So my thought process was I'm going to get out on my own earlier, or sooner rather than later. Cause I know it would be a regret. You know, if I'm 30 years old, still working for somebody, I'd be like, man, now I want to get on my own. So I just figured I'd jump off that cliff, if you will, then. And it's been good.
And so, when you jump off that cliff, I'm sure you don't step right into a big excavator or a big piece of equipment. No. So what were some of the first like grinds of just trying to build something from literally the ground up?
Was definitely still a process. Like what we have now is absolutely nowhere near where we're going. So it's going to be fun to look back in 20 years and be like, oh, look at that little guy doing his thing. But that's the cool thing about construction. You can pretty much start out in what we do, not just general construction, but underground construction. You know, to take on the bigger projects, you do need larger equipment, but there's a lot of good rental opportunities. So you don't need to own. And that's a big ego thing. That's a big thing in the industry, is ego. You know, it's like, I own that. And you just want to own everything. But it really comes down to what makes sense financially. So, and yeah, like, I just started out renting and just started out smaller. So that was kind of the transition. And this has been fairly recently. Last year we made the transition. We kind of rebranded and to include the excavation work. But yeah, just started out landscaping. So got out of maintenance right out of high school. So yeah, that would have been 2017. I started the landscape company. And that's what I enjoyed. That's the scope of work I enjoyed working with the other company doing. I just liked the hardscape construction. I liked the retaining walls, the pavers, that type of thing, building the outdoor spaces. And so, and we still do that, by the way, too. It's not just excavation, but yeah, just really enjoyed that. And then saw the opportunity. Well, you know, you can get bigger and bigger landscape projects, and then, you know, that can lead to bigger projects, pretty much leads to bigger equipment. So I was like, okay. So there's a kind of a clear path, mm-hmm, that you can do. So it's just a migration. You know, once you build the trust with certain clients, say like a home builder, You first come in, you do a little retaining wall around a, a lot of these homes are walkouts now because we're building on a lot of hills right now in Rochester. Mm-hmm. So, which means you have a window well on the side of your house or the back of your house, which needs a retaining wall of some sort. You know, sometimes it's concrete, sometimes it's block, but, and then, so from our perspective, we need a excavator to dig out that dirt. Typically a small one, you know, you don't need anything big for that, but then you can build that retaining wall. But then that same builder might ask you to, you know, their excavator might fall through or, you know, stuff happens. So then they might ask you, to, you know, dig for the next house. And mm-hmm. so then that, of course, requires a different skill set, different equipment. So that's kind of how you move up. It's just, and I'm still on the beginning.
You say that, but I feel like entrepreneurs get to this stage, and it's like, I feel like I'm 50 years old in business world now. You know, starting from 2017 to where you're at today, you're still in the beginning, but at the same yeah. point, look at how much you've done in that amount of time. You feel like, wow.
I suppose. I think anybody that's hungry, anybody that has that entrepreneurial spirit and that's hungry has, I would say everybody struggles with that. You yeah. know, finding you have to be thankful. You have to be grateful for what you've been given or what you've worked for. And what you've received, but you can't stay there. You know, you always have to strive for more, mm-hmm. which is, I think it was Ed Milet who said, I think he's, are you familiar with Ed Milet?
Yep.
He says, I think he says it best. He says, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he says something about being in a state of blissful dissatisfaction. Which I think is about the best way you can describe it. You can't be satisfied, otherwise that, you know, then that turns into complacency and you don't go anywhere. You don't grow personally or professionally, which kind of hurts everybody, hurts you, hurts your family, hurts clients or vendors or whoever. But being in that state of blissful dissatisfaction means you're always pushing. But at the same time, you know, you still have to be thankful and grateful for what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of times it's hard to see. A lot of times it's so hard to see, like, I don't have anything, nothing's going right.
The day to day of the grind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's so.
That piece of equipment shut down and this person's calling because I'm not there on time because this happened. And it's like, am I doing anything right?
Yeah. Right. And then it's so easy. It's such a mind game because, yeah, it's so easy to. Kind of think you're the only one with those problems.
Right.
But then talking to guys like you, like in the commercial real estate world, like you have the same problems.
Doesn't matter.
This guy over here doing tattoos has the same problems. Like everybody's got, you know, the same issues. It's just different flavors of that. So,
and that's why we love having these conversations is just because as you look through the growth that occurs in a entrepreneur's journey, there's a lot of similarities. There's differences as well. And how can we have these conversations that just help us advance individually, advance as a group, advance as, you know, I feel like our community of Southeast Minnesota is awesome for so much business opportunity due to the fact that there isn't the huge companies. You go into like a metro and there's these huge companies that can dominate an area and it's mm-hmm. so tough to crack in. And like here, I just see opportunity for people that are youthful. Doesn't have to even be an age. It can just be in business
mm-hmm.
and they can make waves and make progress in a short amount of time. Relatively short, right?
Right. Yeah.
They can earn trust if mm-hmm. they do it right.
Yeah. I think there's opportunity even in the big markets.
Yeah.
You know, with the big companies that have been around for 100 years.
There's just that many more customers to potentially talk into
right.
doing business with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's all about relationships. So whoever you have a good relationship with and have built trust with. I mean, some people, I've specifically got jobs, and this is more on the landscaping side of things because, I mean, commercial excavation is totally different. But on the landscape side of things, I've been told, you know, we don't want a big company. Hmm. We want you, essentially. And so I've been hired because of that.
we want to call someone's cell phone number and know that we're talking to the person that's hands-on in the work so we can make
it feel and there's a lot of value progress. In that too. You know, you get to a certain size and you have the sales guy makes initial contact with the client. Let's just take the residential application for example. You have the sales guy makes the first contact, and then once the sale's closed, his job can, you know, depending how your business is formatted, he kind of steps back. Then the you know, the foreman comes in, or even, you know, if there's a site soup or something like that.
I love all these landscaping terms. Site soup, foreman, hardscape.
Yeah.
I kind of get it, but.
And then the owner, you know, they never even meet the owner.
Right.
And so, and really what I sell myself on, or what I sell my clients on, is I'm the guy that you meet that comes up to your house initially. I'm the guy that you meet. I'm the guy that, you know, takes care of the financials, you know, invoices you, you know, does all that. And then I'm also the guy on site, you know, caring for your project, caring for the little details. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't get that, as you grow, or it's very hard to maintain as you grow. So it can be done, but it's very difficult.
So back to the topic of blissfully discontent, at what point is enough, right? And that's where I think sometimes I can say even myself struggle, because I look at more, bigger. It's not necessarily the right answer. I mean, there's so many answers that could be right. It's more so what's right for you. And so if you get into a stage where, no, I don't necessarily need to go build more business per se. I need to maintain properly my business and improve the processes to serve a better product and a better delivery that makes it the best possible. And as a result, the right customers will continually be attracted to me versus thinking, getting that next huge contract, that next huge relationship is going to take me to that next level. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's a balance in growth.
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about. And something I've been thinking about for a while. I think it really comes down to, what do you define success as?
Mm-hmm.
If you define success as owning a jet, owning a yacht, you know, owning an island, I mean, that's cool. But you'll probably, a lot of those guys that have that have went through, you know, three wives already. Their kids don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of people that hate them, but they made it financially. So is that successful? You know, mm-hmm. Is that a successful guy that has a yacht and an island, but, you know, doesn't have a relationship with his family and is on his, you know, third or fourth wife? I mean.
So it's a you question.
I think so. Yeah.
Point the finger at yourself and say, what is success? And then when you would define that target, recognizing that through the journey as you try to get there, that more may not always be the answer.
Yeah.
You could be at a comfortable level and you just need to now enjoy, keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that comes with time too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're young, and I think it comes with age too and experience. I mean, it's easy being young to be hungry, kind of be just want more. But I think that's healthy. If a young person has that mindset, or, you know, a little bit, you know, say a middle-aged person has that mindset. But I think it is also natural to, I think it's healthy to kind of tame down as you get a little older too, you know, with more wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But
smarter decision-making processes and
different
balance and risk tolerance and, investment.
And then what's your why too? I mean, that's a big thing. Like, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And that kind of plays into, how you define success, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm still trying to figure out how I define success. Mm-hmm. Because, and it's kind of fun to look at, I don't know. I think Tom Brady pops in my mind. Like, Tom Brady has it all, essentially, right? I mean, he's won I don't even know his stats. I don't keep up on it a whole lot, but he has pretty much whatever he wants in life. Or Jeff Bezos, you know, he can buy whatever he wants. But I think I remember Tom Brady making a comment on he still feels empty. You know, even after all these Super Bowl rings, you know, he still feels empty. So it's like, why does this guy that has the whole world or has whatever he wants still feel empty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe financial, maybe having everything financially isn't the answer. I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So just having money and having big equipment is not success to me.
What is success to you?
Like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, but
I'll put you in the hot seat.
That's good. Seat is getting hot.
Yeah.
Let's just say a successful day. So not just success generally, but a successful day for me is knowing I gave it 100%. Knowing I gave that day or that project, whatever I was doing, 100%. You know, that's still striving for kind of the big goals. I'm clearly just trying to think through this.
It's awesome.
That's tough.
And I think that is when that question gets asked to so many people, including myself, in this position of trying to build something bigger than they built before, it's not an easy thing to put your thumb on because it is ever-changing and you're in the midst of it and you're learning every single day just as much as you've learned over the last month, over the last year. You're just, it's evolving. And it's so tough to, but I agree. I like how you brought it back to the day. It's how can I be content with a successful day, that feeling of success day after day, and have much more. I like this saying, and it came from Nick's father, Nick Pompain of Realty Growth, my business partner. His father said, Nick, real estate's an easy game. You just have to have more winners than losers. And it's like, so when I look at my days, there might be certain days that have more struggles and more negatives than others, but I definitely at the outset of it, I want to have a lot more positives and I want those around me to be a part of that positive feeling that then leads to, and I say content, but it's comfortable feeling of we're doing something fun here. We're doing something great here. And you can go to, you're married.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this on social media and like you can go to your significant other and you can say, Are we good? Like, is life good?
Yeah.
And that, to me, if the answer is absolutely,
yeah,
that feels like success.
Yeah. Now that you say that, so let me just simplify it. So success to me is three Fs, faith, family, and I would say financials also. So faith, my relationship with God, because I believe we're eternal beings. I believe we have a soul, you know, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a God. So, having a good relationship with God, having a good relationship with family, and then, you know, being able to provide financially also and being able to, I might add freedom on there too. Cause we're in America. Why not?
Yeah.
We're able to have freedom. So, so faith, family, and then freedom. I guess swap out financial with freedom because having money is essentially freedom.
Can add to the freedom.
Yeah.
To be able to do what you want, when you want, with whom you
want. Yeah. I want to go to Florida for the next week. Okay, cool. You can, you know. So to me, it doesn't matter. I don't need a jet to be able to do that. I mean, yes.
But sure. To put it into your terms, you don't need to own four excavators that have Evan Landscaping on the side to say, that's my success right there. Those four pieces of equipment is what I deem is my success. Obviously, it might be a byproduct of
exactly
those things, but it's not the measure for you of success.
Because I've had one excavator. And it's kind of funny how things happen. Like you say you get a nice car, your dream car. Well, it's not going to, once you get that dream car, your dream car is now going to be another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's since you have, or your dream house. Okay, sweet. We got our dream house, you know, but now there's always more that to be had. So yeah, with the like the excavator scenario, I will not, and I can kind of easily put myself in a place kind of in the future. It's like a little mind game that I play with myself. Like, what would this feel like if I got that? And you can almost, you can see it's not going to feel any different than I feel now. So having three excavators now, you know, it's not going to feel any different than if I have a fleet of 10 or 20, you know, or having five guys now, you know, it's not going to feel any different than leading a team of 50 guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the responsibility is going to be there. You're providing now for essentially 50 families instead of five families, but your impact is greater. You can do more good, but it's not going to feel you. It's not going to make you feel more fulfilled, I guess, or it's not going to make me feel more fulfilled. It might for some people, but so I think that's a great explanation of success. So I think you've helped me define
that. That's awesome. Hey, this is what it's all about, because it helps not only you, but recognize it helps me. It helps whoever's listening to this.
Yeah.
And then, wow, that got heavy. That's freaking awesome. That was a great conversation. That's awesome.
Well, I want to ask you too.
You answered it. Thank you. I agree. Can we put that on the wall just so I don't forget when I get in the midst of every day?
I need to hear you explain kind of what success looks like for you, though. I know you alluded to certain things.
So I'll go down maybe a little more of the rabbit hole. So when you say freedom, so it's to do what you want with whom you want when you want. And that is, you know, not carelessly. It's to do that in a way where it's like, if you get asked this weekend, friends want to go do something. If you get asked during the week, if you're in my case, if my fiance says, hey, we want to go and do this thing, are you capable and willing and wanting to go do this? I can be like, yeah, I can, because I have built something that if I leave, I don't feel like the world's going to fall apart, and it's all good. So that's the freedom side of things, which I love. The faith, I'm with you on that. I'm a believer. I go to church. I got reintroduced to God several years ago now. And like having that at the core of your life helps with so many things. Things just come naturally. People come naturally. The freedom comes naturally. Now, staying focused on it is another thing. That's not like anything. It comes with discipline, and it comes with the mind games that you have to continually remind yourself that all of this doesn't exist without faith. And so that absolutely to me is success. If I can keep faith at the forefront of my life. And then family, you know, and that's something that I struggled with as an entrepreneur early on, because I was so committed to my career, over the top, unbalanced. There was no faith. There was family. I had, thankfully, an amazing family and some great relationships through that process. But it didn't come naturally. And so as I've evolved as an individual, as a entrepreneur, as a person, in my faith, it's like family for success is that same, being able to have those conversations, good and bad, with my family and be like, are we good? Like, why are we doing this? Why are we here? Why are we all happy together? Like, because if we're not, something's off and we can't be there. And so how do we get to that place? So yeah, you defined it. And that's some of the struggles I think we all have, as it's not only entrepreneurs, it's people in general. But with that unbalance of entrepreneurship drive that so many of us have trying to build something, I feel like some of those struggles can be a lot more difficult than maybe someone that doesn't take on that fight of trying to build your own business, because it is a fight. It is a hand to hand every day trying to figure out how to properly do this. Now, you can put things in your life that make it less of a fight and things can come naturally, but it's certainly not, doesn't come naturally for me. Some people it might more than others. For me, it doesn't. It's a grind.
It's so easy to think other people have it easier. Nobody does. Right. There might be a couple, but
some things come naturally to people.
Nobody likes those people anyhow.
Oh. So that being said, one thing I would say that I feel as though in the entrepreneurial journey that I see people have more success in certain ways, probably for business, earning business. There's a common theme I seem to come across often now in our generation. It's the adapting to the internet and social media. And so I'm going to try to lighten it up a little bit.
Sure. Okay.
What is some ways that you have used the internet to your advantage in building your business, and how have you seen it actually make an impact to your day to day?
Number one, it sucked a lot of my time over the past couple of years. But once you manage that, and I think that's an ongoing struggle too, but I have like little reminders, like, oh, you reach your limit, like 30 minutes limit on some apps. But
do you actually then listen to the reminder?
That's the problem. It almost becomes, before you know it, you've already punched in your code and then hit like an hour more or 15 minutes more. So that is a struggle. Yeah. 100%. But it's a tool. You know, just like a hammer, you can build a house with it, or you can, demo a house with a hammer. So, social media can be, I mean, for me, it's brought me a lot of opportunities. Probably to an extent, we're sitting here because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I just spoke at a social media panel. They called it an influencer panel. But up in the cities, that was last week. So that would have 100% not happened if it weren't due to social media. It's good. It's brought me opportunities. For example, we went to Arizona for a couple months this past winter. I just got back about a month ago. But it helped me connect with a company down there that I worked with. For the time that I was down there. So that was super cool. A lot of cool things came of that. There's a little meetup. Guys came down from, one of my buddies from Montana. He came down just to ride razors, ride side-by-sides.
And when you say one of your buddies, I would ask, is that a buddy from...
It's social media.
That's my point.
We've met in person, but because of social media.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, where else, 50 years ago... You wouldn't just randomly know of another contractor in Montana or Utah or Florida, you know?
Unless you went to the big event that they do every year that they've been doing in industries, doesn't matter. And then you happen to meet them there, but then how you stay connected was a lot more difficult than what it is now.
Yeah, which is, super cool. So next week, there's an event in Las Vegas, Con Expo. I think they call it, but massive, everybody from around the world, like 100,000 plus people, I think, in the construction industry come to that. So that'll be super cool. And good example. That's every 3 years. So it's coming up here next week. It'd be Con Egg 2023. But so you see people that you've met on social media down there from all across the states or the world. And then you also see people that, like I saw a company here in town, a couple of those guys down there. It's like, oh, hey, I know you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. So there's just more opportunity to feel connected because it's really easy to kind of feel isolated and like you have your own struggles and you're kind of going through this all alone, but then going to an event like that, or if you have an issue, you just jump on, Instagram or whatever, DM somebody and say, hi, I'm struggling with this. Have you been there? They'd be like, oh yeah, you just do this and this. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yep. So,
and what you're sharing is that connectivity leads to education that, in my opinion, shortens the time of what it took to learn something in the past, which then in turn you're able to continually grow.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And that...
It's super cool.
I love you sharing those examples of the events and the people and the buddy, right? Because I have that same feeling in the commercial real estate world of people that I would consider friends, buddies. And I wouldn't know them unless it was for Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, things of that nature. So,
and I don't know if you've done deals, but you can do deals because of those people.
Right.
So you can essentially be making a lot of money.
Right.
And it, I mean, if you want to go down the rabbit hole, like affiliate marketing, that's people are making bank off of just random. I don't even know how all that works.
Yeah. But you put a link, crazy. Put a link in your bio, and then if someone ends up buying that piece of equipment because you're sharing about the excavator that you love, and then someone buys that excavator, I'm sure these companies that sell hundreds of thousand dollars worth of excavators are willing to pay a commission related to new buyers that come to them because you help take them down that journey of education of why it's a good excavator.
100%.
And that's, no, I think that's, sometimes it might feel a little salesy. And that's in any industry, but when it comes from a, when it comes from a pure place of like, no, I use this because it's super for my business and I wouldn't be here where, I would be today without this piece of equipment, this tech tool, whatever it is. Like that's the ones I love because
when people can pick out honesty, like if you're truly using this product and it could be a hair product, you know, if you're selling hair products, whatever, if you truly love it, people can sense that if you are saying you love it because it's okay. But you're just people, if you're trying to sell something, people can smell that. What do they say? Intent has a smell. Like, oh, 100%. Even through social media, through the app, you know, intent has a smell.
Right. Yeah. That's so if you're, I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you're, if you truly, love something and you're trying to, you're trying to share that product because you think other people will greatly benefit from it. People can pick up on that.
So here you are on social media documenting about your day. Is that where it kind of started? And then by going down the rabbit hole of looking into hashtags and people that are in the industry, it led you to meeting these people? Or what was that path for those that are in an industry sitting there going, how do I meet others? What was it for you that started connecting you?
Yeah, so I guess I can only see that from a construction side of you know, perspective, but, I'm guessing for you, you know, in real estate, yeah, hashtags are a thing. I don't know if they're, so us sitting here in 2023, that's probably not as big of a thing right now. I don't think, but, geotags, I suppose.
Is that how you found some, some buddies, you know, if you think about that? For me, it was hashtags. It was getting into CRE hashtags, CRE tech, CRE marketing. There were people that were talking about those things online, and how I found them was going into the hashtags in on different platforms. And there's different people in different platforms because some people are more comfortable with Twitter than they are with Instagram than they are with TikTok, right?
Sure. So, yeah, I guess take BiggerPockets for an example.
Yep.
You know, if you listen to that podcast and somebody else listens to that podcast, I mean, there are multiple Facebook groups, right?
Yeah.
For BiggerPockets specifically. And then I know there's a couple local pages as well that are super helpful. But I guess for going back to me, meeting people elsewhere, it's probably back to equipment.
Interesting.
It's like, oh, cool. That's a, you know, that's a cool branding or whatever. And then people just get to know you because of your brand.
And so those pieces of equipment you were looking up in the search bar for a specific piece of equipment, which then in turn led you to people that had that equipment in picture and they were sharing it on picture form or video form possibly.
It's probably more of a mutual, you just get to know people. Like say you have a buddy, his name is Nick. And Nick talks about Henry. You don't know Henry, but then Nick starts talking about Henry. It's like, yeah, Henry's like, he's, you know, top notch dude. So, okay, cool. And then eventually you guys meet. So that's a real world example. It's kind of same thing.
Cool.
You know, in Instagram or, yeah, I would, I'm just kind of using Instagram as more of a thing rather than.
Because you create a lot on Instagram compared to.
Compared to other platforms.
And also compared to people that are doing your same business in this neck of the woods. You are a leader in content creation on Instagram
for landscaping. Yeah.
I don't know any other landscapers really pushing too hard on it locally.
Right. Yeah. 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 A couple of, there's a couple.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm, I don't know. I'm up there, I suppose. I never really thought of that. That's kind of just you're on your own path, doing your own thing, and see what happens.
Now, you talk about how it's allowed you to meet others in the industry and how you gain education and meet friends and so forth. How about bottom line business? How has that helped you?
I have gotten a couple jobs because of social media, but not a whole lot. So one that I can think of off the top of my head, another local business owner, owns a bunch of businesses around town. He found me on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is a good one.
Yeah. Not a lot of landscaping, excavating content coming out on LinkedIn. No, it's a secret spot.
No. And I was even told by some people, I was advised to not really do LinkedIn. It's like, it's kind of for the business, you know, white collar, you know, just you can kind of stay out of there. It's like, I don't know. So I'm going to try it. So just kind of put, I think it's almost too professional at times. It's like people want to work with people. Like they don't want to work with, you know, this perfectly buttoned up, you know, scripted thing, yep. Which sometimes LinkedIn can be. So coming in there, just kind of putting, a lot of it's the same content. So same content that I, you know, put on Instagram, which is just me, or, you know, just raw, you know, kind of what we do. Just putting that on LinkedIn as well, I think is valuable.
Yep. So repurposing and sharing on other platforms. I do a lot of that. And yes, yeah. I can see how it would help your bottom line of introducing you to customers that become.
Yeah. Now certain things on TikTok, you know, if you have a TikTok and post to TikTok, now that might be a little bit different than something you'd post to LinkedIn or Facebook. But at the same time, it might work out. I don't know. But I don't know. So I haven't got a whole lot of jobs or a whole lot of leads directly from social media that I know of. But I think overall it just brings you exposure. So if nothing else, you gain trust with people because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you know. It only matters who knows you. So if people know you and they trust you, you know, that's really all that matters. Kind of in the business world, I think.
When I think of how it's helped you, it's that branding aspect as well, where you don't necessarily know that customer came from this referral that connected to this person that then in turn, how they originally got introduced to you was just seeing your brand out there.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that occurs in the realm of marketing online that then is difficult to measure transaction by transaction.
Yeah.
I look at Dylan, for example, coming to you and having you dig a pond, like how would he have known of you? You know? And right. I think social media played a role in that. Certainly.
Yeah. It can be a good, like say, take an Instagram page for an example. It can be a good validation to a client that doesn't know you. Okay. They are who.
Yeah, that's true too.
They just get to know you.
Yep.
So I mean, there's a group of doctors at Mayo, and kind of once you're in the group, it's, you know, word travels around
kind
of in these different departments. So, for example, we had an amazing client that we worked with for the past couple of years at their home. And this goes back to the landscaping, hardscaping thing. Worked with them, and then this other lady works alongside the wife, that our existing client. And so, you know, they got to talking, and then she found me on Instagram and then DM'd me. So I guess that was another example of, there's probably more leads coming from social media than I'm realizing.
Yeah.
I should do a better job of tracking that. So there's my
I'm not a tracker. I'm not a tracker. I'm just going to keep doing. Like, as long as at the end of the year, we're positive, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of value in tracking though too. So I got to get better at that.
If you had to give advice to an entrepreneur and that advice is rooted in they're sitting in a place where they're just wanting to get started doing something. They're just not quite at that level of acting upon what they feel burning inside. What would be some advice you would give them?
Yeah, boy, it really depends where you're at in life, I suppose. But one thing that would probably just be true that I believe across the board is just do something, get started. So real estate, you know, if you're working in healthcare or manufacturing or something, you can set aside an hour, you know, per day to do something. So analyze deals. You know, I mean, you can get your feet wet in analyzing deals, you know, seeing what's just running the numbers on this would be a good deal. That's not a good deal. This property is listed at, you know, X amount of dollars, which is way too high. But if it were this, if I could talk them down to this, then I know for a fact it would be a good deal and I could, you know, turn a profit and have cash flow on that property. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking to get into real estate, I'm no expert in this area at all. I think you could touch on that a lot better, but I think most people could just, if you're looking to get properties, get doors, I think really anybody can do that. I mean, me having an excavation business, I'm looking into it. I don't currently have any like multifamilies or anything, but I think that'd be a good investment. So I think just getting started, do something, run the numbers, and then once you're comfortable with the numbers, and get around other like-minded people too, mm-hmm. you know, get to know you, get to know whoever that currently has the doors that you want or has units.
And I would take it even back a ways to be like, if real estate isn't it, but it's landscaping, it's opening up whatever it might be, I would say, in that same line of just reach out to somebody, you might be surprised how willing people are wanting to just talk to you about what they're doing.
Yeah. Some people, I think it is kind of specific to each industry too.
That's true.
I think some industries you can just, people are naturally more open.
Yep.
Some are a little bit more closed off, but a lot of times it goes by market. So that's really kind of where social media can come into to play too. If you can find somebody in the next state over and build a relationship with them, you can ask them a whole lot more questions and they'll probably give you a whole lot more answers than somebody that is in your own market.
Right.
Cause there's not always that competition. Like, oh, he's going to eat my dinner. It's like, well, you know, if they're in Texas, you know, chances are they're not going to, the feeling's a little bit different.
So
they're not going to come eat your dinner for you.
Right. Right. You're almost sometimes on the other end of getting that question, you feel honored. You're like, someone really actually wants to learn from me for
that. Like, that's a super humbling experience.
Isn't that cool?
It's like, oh, I gotta know my stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you've probably had that. You've had people ask you questions then.
I've been on both sides.
Yep.
Yeah. I have 100% been the one searching for answers. And then I've also had a couple people that have asked me for some wisdom, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, that's super cool.
Lived experience, so I don't have to make the same mistake that you've probably made.
Yeah. When it feels super, if you've been on both sides, it feels super good to be able to provide information that mm-hmm. you believe can help someone and that you 100% know will help someone. Mm-hmm. So it's super cool. But yeah, just going back to how you get started, though, it does feel like you're going to jump off a cliff. Like, it doesn't mean you have to quit your job. If you have a steady job, it's a different thing if you're in a bad situation, you don't like it. But I think if you're doing okay, but you just want to take the next level, I think there's, and yeah, again, different markets, different, like, what are you looking to go into? You know, I think there's some things require jumping off the cliff, you know, diving head in or head first in. And then other things are, well, I can, you know, kind of weasel my way in here. And then eventually, you know, you create a plan and then I can build that up from there. But you just have to take the first step.
Right.
And just consistently too. Consistency is something I'm learning right now. Big time, it feels like.
What do you mean? Just getting up every day and going to bed at the same time. What is consistency?
Much. Well, so my wife is a marathon runner. She's an excellent runner. Training for Boston right now for the second time. So she runs multiple marathons per year. I do not run. I have found out what an aerobic base is, and I have found out I have zero aerobic base. So anyway. Training for my first half marathon coming up in May, I think, Med City, half. So that'll be interesting. Cause I would run, I could run 5 miles, you know, every once in a while. I could run 2 miles if I wanted to, but running consistently is totally different. Or working out like if you're not somebody that goes to the gym, working out consistently is way different than working out once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which to some that might even be consistent, but I don't know. I think it'll be good. It's just a good mindset thing. Like, I mean, sometimes it just feels, I don't know. Consistency is good.
And where it connects to business in my mind is when you make that sacrifice to start doing something new, not abandoning ship without putting in the consistency that leads to you actually measuring, is this something you truly want to do? Because often individuals that have that burning desire to do something, you will see them jump into something and then that something becomes not the right fit and they're out. And it's like, what if though? What if that consistency,
yeah,
what if you put in that, you know, everyone is different, but 6 months versus 1 month, 1 year, 2 years. Like, what if you did that consistently? Could you break through to make it into what felt like a complete passion that you had to do?
Yeah, that's good.
So that's where I think it's connected. Running a marathon, I don't know that I have any advice on that other than you better be disciplined and consistent in whatever the heck you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And I really have no desire to run a marathon. I do believe it's good for your mental health, if you will, or just you know, even if that's something you don't struggle with, just being consistent, super consistent in something. It's good for life. You can learn so many life lessons, I feel, just from being consistent, working out, or doing whatever you're doing.
Right. Once you've ran your first marathon, we'll have you back and get the real get the real feedback of that.
Yeah, if I live. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, Evan, I just want to say thank you for jumping on this podcast with us. I really do think that, you know, conversations like this are helping others, and it's helping me certainly. So I hope others can listen to this and see it. And one, reach out to you, because I know you're one that's willing to just continually learn and evolve and go through this journey of life with people that are in and around business. So go ahead and share as far as where people can reach out, where you are at on social media, how they can learn more about your business.
Sure. Yeah. We're on Instagram at Evans Companies. And then Facebook, Evans Companies, EVANS Companies. And then, we're a little bit on YouTube. And then got a website too, Evans Companies, MN, as in Minnesota.com.
And for those that are looking for some type of service going into the spring, what are some of the hot projects that you're working on that will keep you busy and you're looking for more?
We got some really nice ones in the works. Yeah, really fun ones. So residential and commercial.
Cool.
So yeah, we got a couple really nice outdoor spaces that we'll be building for some great clients in their backyard so they can have their own oasis.
Sweet.
And then also some utility projects too.
So with the outdoor oasis, is it like patios that have features to them that make them customized?
Yeah, planters, you know, bringing plants into a space. Well, yeah, I mean, you can have a concrete slab out there and you can, you know, make some memories on that. But having gas fire features in there, you know, it just brings it to life. Fire features, water features. Those are the unique things that really can make it cool.
And then when it goes to the utility connections, that's probably just a new, like you're helping develop something new that hadn't existed in the past. So it's kind of fun to see that
go through. Yeah. Or even fixing up old, you know, that's kind of gratifying too. Like, things just wear out. So you're coming in and making it. So essentially different cities and different builders have the infrastructure they need so they can rock and roll.
So if people are looking for any of those types of services, be sure to reach out to Evan and his team. You're based out of Byron. Is that right?
Yeah.
And, they're looking for projects going into the spring and summer. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the Real Growth Podcast. Appreciate it very much.
Awesome.
Thank you. Fun conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you.
See you guys next time.